Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
I'm going to read you the menu. It's fantastic.
So we get better flavour because of the fen soil.
I've drunk more beer since I came here and bought my two barrels than I've ever done in my life before, I think.
I shouldn't have said almonds. They don't make it from almonds.
So you've got this big sticky mess when you start off.
Pizza box pints.
My wife's cakes are selling up hot cakes. Brilliant, thank you.
The time is right for this sort of thing.
Food is everything.
Cambridge is right for this sort of thing.
What's it like?
Good afternoon and welcome to Flavour for a summer food and drink special. I'm Matt Bentman.
I'm Alan Alder.
And I'm Sue Bailey.
And today we're celebrating the summer weather and finding out what our local chefs, food shops and restaurants have to help us enjoy it. And one thing we're looking forward to is having an ice cream tasting later on in the programme.
Yeah, well, not too much later, Matt. I think it's melting.
Ooh. Today we have everything you'll need for summer eating and drinking. Advice on making a salad from Salad King Alex Rushmer of Vanderlyle. Advice on what to drink from Bacchanalia and the Gutter and Stars Winery.
We've summer cafe food from Cafe Abantu. Ideas for what to have in your picnic from Zoltan of Culinaris.
Summer restaurant specials from Scots All Day and even seasonal jams from My Persian Kitchen.
We'll have our regular features too. Free food in and around Cambridge, local food and drink news, social media updates, and at the end of the programme, our jobs roundup.
OK, so let's get started. And you can't talk about summer food without starting with salads. Alan, you went to Vanderlyle to get some advice on them, didn't you?
Yeah, my own salads are always a bit uninspiring, but I saw that Alex Rushmer had posted a picture of one of his salads on Instagram, and it looked fantastic. And Bea Wilson posted one from Vanderlyle as well, this time with its list of 20 ingredients. So naturally, that's where I went for ideas. Alex, I see salads are back on the menu at Vanderlyle, and some spectacular ones as well. I thought you would be the perfect person to ask for advice on putting together a good salad. Are there any sort of rules or guidelines?
Yeah, happy to oblige. It's a dish that we put on the menu when the time is right, and it's usually when there's too much produce to fit into the 10 other courses. So it's a way for us to showcase as much local produce from Co-Farm and from Flourish and from my back garden as we possibly can. So at the start of the season, we have probably 20 different ingredients, and it can go up to as many as 40, depending on the different types of lettuces and the different types of leaves. But essentially what we do is we build up layers of flavour, and I think salad is one of those things that needs to have contrast, and it needs to be consistently interesting. And I think what makes a good salad is one that tastes slightly different every time you have a forkful of it. And that's the idea with the salad that we have on the menu here at the restaurant. So we start with, unusually we have two dressings on it, and unusually we start with those actually. We start with one of them and then we finish with another one. So we have a saffron mayonnaise base that we use as a sort of adhesive to attach all the leaves and different things to the dish. But essentially my building block, my philosophy when it comes to salad, is that it has to be about contrast, and that means contrasts of temperature and texture and sweetness and acidity and richness. So that's what we're trying to do, and that's possibly why there are so many ingredients in there. So as well as the leaves, there are things that provide texture. So there's some raw vegetables, so we have raw turnips and radishes in there at the moment.
But sliced up or grated?
Yeah, sliced very thinly, and we do little matchsticks of turnip, which are salted, which just softens them ever so slightly, and then rinsed. That brings seasoning to the salad as well. Further texture we have in the form of hazelnuts through the dressing, so it's a toasted hazelnut vinaigrette dressing. And then for acidity and more seasoning, we have some fermented items. So fermented white asparagus. When white asparagus was in season, we made loads of fermented white asparagus, which means we can extend the season, essentially. So you have these little pockets of something that's slightly salty but also slightly acidic to just bring freshness and refresh the palate between each mouthful. Pickles, I think, are really important. So acidity is crucial when you're making a salad. So we have pickled beetroot is what we have at the moment in there. But those are the important things to keep in mind when you're making a salad. So have those contrasts. So it needs to be well seasoned. So you need to add salt. But you have to remember that salt will pull moisture out of the leaves as well. So it will wilt the leaves. It will essentially make them less crispy and less crunchy and less fresh tasting. So when you're seasoning your salad, wait until the last possible moment. And then dressings. Dressings are actually really easy. People think dressings are hard, and they're trying to make sort of emulsified vinaigrettes. And you need fat and acid, essentially. And that can come from absolutely anywhere. So traditionally, it would be olive oil and maybe white wine vinegar. But if you think about the number of things that bring fat and richness, it could be different oils, obviously, but mm-hmm. you could also use brown butter if you wanted to be really sort of really adventurous with it. Cheese or hummus, things like that, you can stir through. Feta is amazing in salad. So lots and lots of things can bring fat. And then acidity, as I said, vinegar would be traditional. There's loads of different types of vinegars. And the simplest salad dressing, really good olive oil, really good vinegar. Sometimes that's all you need. Pinch of salt, sometimes a pinch of sugar as well, just to help balance out that acidity and make the whole thing taste more interesting and a bit more extensive. I love playing around with it. So you have these, you're building up these layers of flavour.
And what sort of ratio, Alex, between the fat and the acid?
So traditionally, it's really easy to remember. You have two parts fat and one part acid.
Right.
So as a broad ratio, that works really, really well. Always taste it. Taste it as you're going along.
Yeah.
And taste the dressing on itself. Dip a leaf into the dressing and see how it tastes in context with all the other ingredients.
And do you apply that to the salad late on as well?
So the salad takes about 20 minutes to build. So it's a real... I mean, that's not including the prep time. So washing all the leaves, prepping the leaves, making sure they're right size, actually building the thing takes about 20 minutes. And what we don't want is to dress it too early, because the acid and the salt will wilt the leaves. So it's built and then it is seasoned and dressed just before it leaves the kitchen. I mean, we take it quite seriously. Yeah, it's not something I do at home. Things like a chopped salad, for example, you want to dress a little bit earlier because you want those juices to run and you want that to sort of meld together and turn into the dressing. But if it's a predominantly leafy salad, I'd leave it quite late. And sometimes even put the dressing and the salad on the table separately so people can dress it themselves.
Yeah, yeah. What about fruit? I
find fruit quite divisive in salad, actually.
Right.
I adore it. I love dried fruit, particularly with a sort of North African dish with some grains through it as well.
But so not fresh fruit, not like, you know, raspberries or, you know, because they provide
They can bring acidity. I love pear in a salad. Pear and roquefort and walnut and bitter leaves is a wonderful salad. Mm. Apple in a Waldorf salad. I think everyone who's seen Fawlty Towers can remember the recipe for Waldorf salad. So I love fruit, fresh or dried, in combination with leaves and richness. Texture is also really important to me in a salad, and that can come from croutons, which are sort of the king of crunch in a salad for me. Nuts, seeds. Toasted nuts and seeds are also really good for waking up the palate, along with that freshness, that crunch, when you feel something different in your mouth.
Yeah.
Is really exciting.
Yeah. And how long will salads be on the menu here at Vandelaar?
I'm hoping that it will see us right through until winter. So people assume that the ground goes quiet over winter. We don't really see a drop off in the number of different fruits and veg and leaves that are available to us until sort of January and February.
Oh,
so
right.
I think it's going to stay on the menu for a good few months.
Right. Brilliant. Okay. Thanks very much, Alex.
Thank you.
A restaurant salad. Up to 30 ingredients, that's pretty special. It takes time to build that, right?
Yes, it does. I mean, Vandelaar just deserves its fantastically good reputation. And don't forget, the bookings for it open at noon on the first Tuesday of the month. So for tables in August, the bookings open on the 2nd of July. Now, details of free food available in and around Cambridge. And this information comes from the Olio app, and that exists so that people's or businesses' surplus food doesn't go to waste.
Yeah, that's right. And today's look at Olio for Cambridge shows us that it's a big old bread day, really, because Smentek over in King's Hedges has a lot of tiger batons and tiger baguettes, along with Scotch rolls and English muffins to give away. Eugenie in Abraham Road has seven packs of oat and raisin cookies and another seven packs of mini flapjack bites available. Alison in Great Shelford has two packs of Warburton's breakfast muffins, as well as six packs of wholemeal rolls and four loaves of bread and four tiger batons going spare. Meanwhile, Tim in Milton has a pot of Cornish clotted cream for anyone who's interested. And Philippa in King's Hedges has a white loaf of gluten-free bread. And finally, Mina on Hills Road near the Leisure Centre has an M&S coffee and cream dessert sponge with chocolate mousse. And that was just a very quick glance at what's available on the Olio app today.
It's just incredible that that's all free. It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, there's the other free app called Too Good To Go, with unsold food from restaurants and shops, often at less than half price, so you do pay a bit for this one. And rather than specifying each leftover item, the surplus food is packaged as a magic bag, and that's instead of going in the bin at the end of the day's trading. And some of the companies that use it are big names: Marks and Spencer's at Cambridge Station, Greggs in Cherry Hinton, Nine's Global Cafe, Namaste, Aldi in Histon Road, Pret, Upper Crust at the station, the Co-op in Sawston, loads of others. But let's move away from food for a little while and turn our attention to summer drinks. And Matt, you went to Bacchanalia in Mill Road for some ideas, didn't
you?
Yeah,
I did. It may be a relatively small shop, but Bacchanalia is rammed floor to ceiling with wines, beers and spirits. And I met with Liam, who was running their Mill Road branch, and he was just full of suggestions.
Welcome to Bacchanalia. Here we have, for the summer, lots of craft beers, all locally brewed, including some breweries like Tit Steam, one of our favourites. And every week we tap a firkin, 9 gallons worth of beer, and we give it off at less than £2.50 a pint. Back in the day, you'd have from 3 to 4 open at any given time, but now instead, unfortunately, it's only down to 1. But the more customers we get, the more you show up, the more we get to open and taste together.
Less than £2.50 a pint, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, for that same week's beer, because it lasts 5 days. Mm-hmm. And if you show up on either a Tuesday or a Wednesday, you get them for £1.50 instead. And it doesn't really matter the size of the container, we'll fill it up to as many pints as you want. Yeah? It's great for picnics, because if you're on the go and you just want live beer, if you let us know, we can actually give you a polypin as well. Otherwise, it's as much as you'd like, really. From beer to spirits, we've got everything in between as well. So, not to forget that we are mainly a wine shop, but we are one of the few retailers that has Volt Aperitivos, locally made in Saffron Walden with the foraged ingredients by themselves. But talking about the limoncello, we've got quite a few good selections. We've got some of the best in the world by Beppe Tosolini, as well as some really, really interesting new ones, which is a green-coloured limoncello. It uses green lemons, not lime, these are still lemons. And we offer, other than great value Proseccos, we have great alternatives, such as Durello or Cava, all for very affordable prices. And if you were to have a picnic, the selection of mini bottles we have and the little packages we can make with those can cover any sort of party or get-together.
Well, worth coming down to Bacchanalia on Mill Road, then.
And Victoria Road. We've got two shops in Cambridge and have been going strong for over a quarter of a century.
Yeah, that was Liam from Bacchanalia on Mill Road. Now, Liam has got wine in his blood, sparkling wine, in fact, because he is part of the Bubbly Bandits, who we featured on Flavour last September, I think. We met them in the marquee tent at the food fair on Parker's Peace. Bubbly Bandits, they want to show that Prosecco isn't the last word in Italian sparkling wines, so they import all of these other varieties and flavours. But as you could hear, Liam, he's got a good knowledge for all wines and beers and spirits, and that's what makes him a perfect fit for Bacchanalia and its customers.
Alan visited the Cambridge winery Gutter and Stars on a very hot day this week, and we'll hear more from them later on. But first, his owner and vintner, Chris Wilson, on his suggestions for summer drinking.
OK, Chris, the forecast today is for, I think, 29 or 30 degrees, so I've got to ask you, what's good for drinking in such hot weather, would you say?
If it's Gutter and Stars, Bacchus, 100%. Get it. Put it in the fridge now. By 4 o'clock this afternoon, it'll be lovely. It's fresh. You don't have to think about it. It's refreshing. That's the key thing.
Right. And if you wanted to eat something with it, what would go nicely?
Oysters, prawns, peanuts, cashews, something a bit more substantial, white meats and fish kind of category with this.
Yeah.
Barbecue food really works really well with Bacchus.
Even barbecued meat?
Probably not steak. But sausages, chicken, maybe pork. To be honest, it's one of those wines you don't have to think too much about, which is the beauty of it. And barbecue, for me, is generally, you're not really thinking too much about it. It's about company and enjoying being outside. So, It's, you know, these things, you don't need to be overthought. But also, on a day like today, sparkling wine's wonderful. English sparkling wine, champagne, cava, whatever you like, whatever's within your budget. I don't make any sparkling wine, but watch this space. There might be a plan to do some in the future.
Chris Wilson of Gutter and Stars there, and we'll hear more from Chris in the second half of the programme.
Yeah, on to our first news break now, and Molino Handmade Pasta has a pasta-making class coming up in Hitchin, an easy train ride away. It includes a sit-down meal, a bottle of wine to take home, and a class on pasta-making, and the cost is £65, and it happens on the 10th of July.
There's a Petchins Table Supper Club at Meadows in Mill Road on 5th of July, and the cost is £35. There'll also be a selection of natural wines, beers and non-alcoholic drinks to purchase as well. Book by the Petchins Table website.
Soul and Duck in Trumpington High Street has two courses of chef's specials for £25 at lunchtimes and evenings from Wednesdays to Fridays, and on Saturday, lunchtime only. The current main is chili and lime fish cakes.
Cambridge Wine has an evening of wine and cheese in their Bridge Street branch on the 20th of August. Camilla from the Cambridge Cheese Company will be there with six cheeses, and each will be paired with a glass of wine. It starts at 6:30 and it costs £45. There are limited spaces, and you can book via the Cambridge Wine Instagram bio or at the Cambridge Cheese Company shop in All Saints Passage.
On the 7th of August, there's an Old World and New World wine night at Finboy's in Mill Road, with paired fish dishes like Portland crab tostada with broad bean, mole verde asparagus, coriander mint and fennel pollen. The cost is £75.
Our last news item for this section is that Fitzbillies has launched a Chelsea bun ice cream. It's available right now.
Yeah, fantastic idea. And we have an ice cream here, not Fitzbillies Chelsea bun ice cream, though. Mm. In fact, what we have today is Jack's Gelato's roasted banana ice cream, which I bought at Meadows, actually, because they sell Jack's Gelato as well. So shall we have a taste?
Yeah.
Yes.
Put it on plates. Mm. We have clean spoons.
We have indeed.
Very banana. Very banana.
Oh, that's strong. Ooh. Yeah, wow. That's brilliant. Did wonder, how do you capture the taste of burnt banana in an ice cream?
Well, I don't think it's burnt.
It's lovely.
I don't think roast means burnt.
No. Oh, sorry, roast banana.
But maybe burnt banana's a good idea.
It's the alliteration in my head that got me there.
Right.
Yummy.
Yeah, anyway, this is a very nice ice cream. And thank you, Sue.
Yes.
So what are these? Sue's brought something, because Sue's just come back from Spain. So what's this?
Do you want to try one?
Yeah, I will tell.
There we are.
Cool, what's this?
And these are little sort of local delicacies from around the sort of Cadiz area.
Mm.
And I'm always on the hunt for them because my mother absolutely loves them. And they're called Caballo de Angel, which I always thought was Angelica. And then I've actually been reading the translation, because normally I translate it from the Spanish. And the English translation on these, because these are a different brand to the ones I normally get, actually says pumpkin. And I thought, oh. Okay, perhaps I'm going to double check and find out which is correct. But whatever, what do you think of them?
I think it's lovely.
Does it go with the ice cream?
Oh, well, I've eaten my ice cream.
Oh, right.
Actually, I've got a bit more here.
Oh, fair enough.
Being the person who provided this, I'm saying.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was
an interesting contrast, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, what What a pleasure this is.
I like
you know what always amazes me is how on the continent they have such beautiful sweets and we don't get them here. We're a nation of sweet tooth people. I've got an especially sweet tooth. And whenever I got, say, friends come over or housemates in there from other countries, I had a Portuguese friend who just bought back some Portuguese biscuits. Beautiful. They would sell like crazy here, but you can't get them here. Why not?
And they're really unusual types of things as well. Yeah.
Some are. Some are just quite plain, but still brilliant.
True.
Yeah. I think
they still emphasise a lot of handmade local, very localised products, which I think is really nice.
What about ice creams in Spain? Do you see any unusual...
They love ice creams. Oh, yeah.
But are there unusual ones?
Oh, unusual ones, yes. I mean, they have some very Spanish ones. Trocino de Cielo, which is a bit like a caramel flan-type flavour. And then, again, they adopt them from other countries. They have a speculoos one that I just saw very recently, which is of the Dutch spice biscuits. So round almost every corner in holiday towns in Spain, there'll probably be 20, 30 ice cream parlours.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of the favourite things to do at night.
Yeah.
Go and have an ice cream.
And, of course, Jack's Gelato's open till something. Is it 11 o'clock at night at the moment?
Really? Mm.
So it happens here as well, to a much lesser extent.
Yes.
But anyway, Jack, we like your...
We do.
Roast, not bird, roast.
And your ideas are better than the ones I've seen in Spain. So.
Have you ever had his anchovy ice cream?
No.
It's amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
And last time on Flavour, we had the durian ice cream.
Mm. Wow. Oh, durian, yes.
Yeah. Tremendous. Anyway,
that really was.
That's quite enough eating for today.
Well, we talked about salads at Van der Lyle earlier, but if you're in the centre of town and you need a good salad, where do you go?
A good place is Café Bantu in Hobson Street. I asked owner... Oh, sorry, it wasn't me. It was Alan.
I'm too busy eating.
He is too busy coming. Alan asked owner Wendy about her salads and other summer foods, which all have a South African influence.
Wendy, how does your menu change for the summer?
Well, we tend to change our salad numbers. In the winter, we only have 3, and then we start increasing to 4 and increasing to 5 because our salads sell out very quickly. So we try and make sure that they're bigger and there's an entire fridge full, as well as obviously the ingredients change to seasonal ingredients. So we go away from the butternuts and the pumpkins and we go into the more fresh produce, the coleslaws and we use broccoli a lot, we use cauliflower a lot, we use roast veg a lot. So it sort of changes the structure of the salads as well to fresher. A good salad's got to be hearty and really, really fresh tasting. I mean, the pineapple salad with the chili goes really well at the moment because it's fresh and it's got a bite and it's got tanginess to it because it's summer. The South African element of salads come in very popular, like the potato salad from South Africa has egg in it and it's mixed with a bit of condensed milk along with the mayonnaise, so it makes it a little bit more, almost like it's creamier than normal. And also the one that sells out quite a lot is the broccoli salad, which we add cheese and raisins and seeds to. So it's sort of, that's a staple in South Africa, is the broccoli salad, so which is raw, served raw, and it's really crunchy. Especially, crunchy.
I was going to say, it's crunchy and essential.
Yes, I think in the summer, crunchy is really the most important thing, and cold and fresh.
So. Right. Okay, but as far as things like cold and fresh is concerned, does that mean, does it affect what people drink, or do you sell fewer hot drinks?
We don't sell as many hot drinks. They go for a lot of cold lattes, cold coffees, cold Americanos, cold mochas even. We sell a lot of iced tea. We make up our iced tea here using tea bag, actual tea, so we don't have bottled iced tea. And it does. We try and put specialties on and things like we've had the rhubarb and custard tea has been very popular. So we're trying to make teas that, you know, so we have our staple on our menu, but we also have a specialty or a barista's tea of the day.
I can't imagine rhubarb and custard tea.
It's lovely. And it's one of these teas that funny enough tastes like it smells, because often a herbal tea, you know, we'll smell it and you'll think, oh, it's going to taste like it, and it doesn't. Yeah. But the rhubarb tea actually tastes like it smells. So,
it smells of rhubarb and custard.
And it tastes of rhubarb and custard.
Oh, right. Yeah, but that's not on every day.
No. We found that our drinks menu was almost too big, so we reduced it to a basic, and then we have specialties. Yeah. It allows us to be a little bit more flexible and volatile and exciting, and yeah. we often get teas and things that come in and then we've got, oh, we can't put on the menu, so we would rather just put specials on for people to enjoy.
And today it's forecast to be 29, maybe 30 degrees. Do people's behaviours change on very hot days in the cafe?
I mean, they do. They obviously like to a lot of takeaway picnic where they come in, and our salads are very popular, as well as our quiches and that in the heat. Yeah. So they have something cold. You know, we've introduced a savoury cheesecake, and that goes really, really well because it's just cold. So people like cold fast food that they can grab and go, because they don't want to sit in a hot cafe. Right. And outside is lovely in the morning, but it does get quite hot. So people tend to come in, grab a takeaway box and go and sit at the river, or go and find a really nice cool park.
And you've got outside tables now as
we
well.
We have, we have. But they do get really hot. So you've got to enjoy the sunshine if you sit outside.
Right. Okay. So the heat is good for trade. You just sell different sorts of things.
Yes. We sell more cold, faster moving food, and obviously a lot of iced drinks.
Brilliant.
You're a great lover of tea, Matt. Do you fancy rhubarb and custard tea?
Yeah, I would. I love them. You know, I've been a fan of flavour teas ever since I used to work for an organic farm in Wales that was run by the co-founder of Extinction Rebellion and Just Stop Oil. Now, that guy, he always treated his customers with the utmost respect. He never, ever got angry. And he always stocked our kitchen with dozens of flavours of herbal teas for us all.
You have an interesting buzz. We'll have to probe more deeply, I think.
Intriguing. Well, coming up, food from Carinaris and Scots All Day. Also, My Person Kitchen's jams. Back in 2 minutes.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Cam's Politics with Trevor Dan.
So we're on the last lap and the chequered flag's just a few days away. So in this weekend's Cam's Politics, we'll look back at some of the turning points in our local campaigns and try and pick some winners. We'll be in Queen Edith's for their hustings and hear from all their main candidates. And Phil Rogers, our political guru, will help me understand what it means to you and me. That's Cam's Politics, Sunday at 12 on Cambridge 105 Radio or online wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all crime fiction fans. Murder by the Book is a free exhibition at Cambridge University Library celebrating the history and timeless appeal of British crime fiction. Step inside to discover nearly 100 of the most iconic crime novels in UK history, alongside rare and influential works that have been long out of print. Feast your eyes on the library's collection of first editions, preserved in their original dust jackets. You'll also get a chance to glimpse Agatha Christie's typewriter, her draft notebooks, and the top-secret manuscript for the novel Where It Was Curtains for Poirot. Experience crime fiction like never before. Pre-booking is essential. Get your tickets at lib.cam.ac.uk.
This is Cambridge 105 Radio.
Certainly is, and welcome back to Flavour and our summer food and drink special.
Well, another great thing about summer is, of course, picnics. And a great source of good food for a picnic is Culinaris in Mill Road. I asked the owner, Zoltan, for suggestions, which he gave me lots of, and the man on the cheese counter, too, gave some interesting background to one of the cheeses.
So, Zoltan, summer's arrived, and you presumably have got some nice foods to go with it.
Yes, and the weather is really amazing for picnics, so we were thinking hams and cheeses. We have 12 hams, at least, now open from France to Spain, France, Italy, Spain. Also, some new arrivals on cheeses. Very proud of the new.
Shall we go and have a look at them?
Yeah.
These beautiful fresh chanterelles have just arrived as well.
Oh, wow. They look fantastic.
Season is beginning.
And where are they from?
Lithuania this time.
Well, next week the Scottish will be already here. I got already some pictures from Scotland, so we'll get the Scottish ones. Well, as the season progresses from the south, we had Portugal, and this week Lithuania, next week Scotland. We have this amazing new arrival, Dom, and maybe you can say a little bit more about our Rachel.
Oh yeah, Rachel. Well, until now we've been always trying to get the Rachel Reserva, which is like a one-year-old aged version of this beautiful hard goat cheese from Somerset, made by White Lake Cheeses. And they produce their own raw goat's milk, and they also produce cow's milk and sheep's milk, so they have quite a big range. This is a bit of a favourite of ours, the Rachel, which is kind of like a nice crumbly goat's cheese, quite a complex flavour. And so, yeah, it's become a bit of a British favourite of ours over the last year or so.
Right, good.
We have some new Spanish arrivals. This raw sheep's milk cheese from central Spain, Bofar, and of course Manchegos. The other thing that we'd recommend are these new amazing organic cordials. We have here about more than a dozen. Some of them are fruit cordials.
And these are French,
cherries,
are they?
Yes, made from fresh fruit and organic sugar. And from some more exotic one, like pink grapefruit, to basic cocktail ingredients like grenadine, and of course for the coffee, some hazelnut syrup. But cassis from the Rhone Valley is one of the favorites, obviously. You know, cassis, it's Kir Royale.
Yeah.
It's the absolute weather compliant drink these days.
The summer drinks, yeah. And what about fruit?
We have some amazing stone fruit, the white apricots from France. This is really extraordinary. It has kind of a brand name called Vanilla Cot. Beautiful aubergines in now full season. And we mentioned ham. We have beautiful Charente melons. And not only the apricots, but we have already five types of peaches and nectarines from Corsica.
And some very nice looking cherries as well.
Yes, well, this is one of my favorites, the white cherries, Rainier cherries, and they're stunning this season. We hope to get some British beautiful black cherries next week from Kent. The rain didn't help much, but now that the sun's out,
yeah.
We should have some great British cherries. So, yeah, for your salads, again. We have here about eight types of tomatoes, all open air, Provence again, and
a nice selection here of different colours,
yes,
different sizes.
Yes,
oh, that always looks good in a salad, I think, when you've got different styles of tomatoes.
And
different
they
colours.
Taste differently, so you should try them on their own, mix it up.
Yeah.
We just did yesterday a very simple tomato salad with a little bit of our olive oil, some salt. I added just a dash of my favorite pepper, the Vozzi Periferi, and as a seasoning, some sesame seeds with soy, or the other one is with kimchi, or even with yuzu, which gives a little bit of acidity.
Yes.
And a few drops of our amazing balsamic vinegars, about 20 different ones.
Yeah. You've got an amazing selection in the shop, an extraordinary range of things. It really is incredible.
And everything is also online, so if you live a bit further afield, but nothing beats the experience. We have tastings, we always have cheeses out to taste,
yeah.
and can talk, as you can hear now, for hours about our products,
yeah.
and give advice and answer all the questions you might have.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, yeah. Thanks very much, Zoltan. Thank you for your
time.
Thank you.
Yeah, Culinaris is such a good shop, and the range of good foods they've got there is breathtaking, really. I tried some of the cherries, and they were bursting with flavour. I mean, I love cherries, but so often they're, you know, they are a bit disappointing, aren't they? But these, I've not had cherries like these, I think, probably in my life, actually.
Ooh, wow.
They were just astonishing. Yellow cherries. Tremendous.
Interesting. Well, time for a bit more news now. Cambridge Sustainable Food has a catering service that can supply healthy and delicious lunches for meetings, conferences and events, all using food that would otherwise have gone to waste. If you'd like more information on this, email catering@cambridgesustainablefood.org.
Smokeworts is having a 10th anniversary bash on the 13th of July at Brewboard in Harston. That's from 2 p.m. There will be a barbecue, beers and bourbon, live music from 7, and last drinks will be 10:30 p.m.
Also at Brewboard, there are brewery tours and beer tastings coming up on the 13th of July and the 17th of August from 1 till 3 p.m.
And Novi in Regent Street has a bottomless brunch on the terrace and middle floors with a DJ from 1 till 3 and 3 till 5 today, if you're listening live, with 90 minutes of bottomless drinks per session. And then the next one coming up is on the 25th of August.
Steve Thompson, the foraging chef, has a charity fundraiser at Island Hall in Godmanchester for the Riding for the Disabled Association. It's on the 14th of July at 5:30, and there'll be a guided foraging walk and a 7-course taster menu cooked in front of you over the fire. Tickets are £135, and you can email inquiries@islandhall.com for booking info.
And that's Supercharge introducing our wine news. And there's a wine tasting from Noel Young Wines at the Tawa Lounge in Histon. That's on the 10th of July at 7 p.m, along with a collection of small plates throughout the evening, and the cost is £20.
And Noel Young Wines are having another tasting at the Three Horseshoes in Stapleford on 7th July at 7 p.m. It's £30 per person with sparkling wine on arrival and a flight of wine, including a dessert wine and a selection of foods throughout the evening.
The next tasting at Gutter and Stars in French's Road is on the 11th of July. That's from 6:30 to 7:30. There'll be 5 wines to try, and winemaker Chris Wilson will explain how the wines were made and what inspired the artwork on the bottle. The cost for that is £30.
The Wine Rooms in Hills Road next tasting is of South African wines. That's on the 18th of July, and there'll be an Algarve wine evening on the 29th of July from 7 till 9 p.m. for £30 with Steve Hovington.
Then the Cambridge Wine School has a tasting of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot and Semillon on the 2nd of July at the Venetian Wine Bar by the station. And on the 9th of July, there's a tasting of Syrah and Grenache, and then also Southern Rhone Whites at the same venue from 7 till 9 p.m. The cost is £35. And then on the 20th of July at Maddingley Hall, there's an introduction to wine at 11 a.m. And it's an informal wine tasting day that includes a 2-course lunch. And the cost for that is £125.
Back to our summer food feature. And one food that's a staple in many a picnic or relaxed meal out is a pizza. And Matt, you went to Scott's All Day in Mill Road.
Yeah, I spoke to Christian. He's one of the staff there. And I asked him to recommend something from their menu that was worth championing. And he went for the pepperoni and hot honey Detroit-style pizza.
The pepperoni Detroit, you know, on a very thick base that we cook ourselves with dough from a local bakery, and top it with plenty of fresh cheese to make it nice and crispy and crunchy on the outside. We also bring in pepperoni fresh from Culinaris. It's actually called Mangalisa, which is a special type of pig originating in Hungary. And then once all that's all done, nice and crisp, drizzle lovely hot honey and give it straight to you. Hopefully you can eat it all by yourself. Not many people can. We have been constantly trying to improve it. We've gotten better at the combination of cheeses, how we cook it in the oven with the humidity settings. Even now, we're still trying to get the perfect Detroit style to replicate what you can have over in America, here in Cambridge, without having a 14-hour flight. The most popular, it's gotta be the Mill Road Full House.
And what's the Mill Road Full House for anybody who doesn't know?
That would be, you know, our usual Neapolitan style pizza base with Sicilian sausage from Mill Road Butchers and Mangalisa from Culinaris, all coming together with fresh olive oil again from Culinaris. And yeah, it's just by far the most popular pizza we have.
Yeah, so as well as using local ingredients to make their dishes, and those two pizza dishes in particular, for anyone who's wondering what a Detroit-style pizza is, it's a thick and chewy crust, maybe a little bit focaccia-like. It's made in a rectangular pan, and it was rectangular because Detroit was a big region for car manufacture from the 1930s onwards. Rectangular trays were manufactured as oil drip pans for cars and other things. And we should mention here that next month, Scott's has a Vanderlaal pizza, created by Vanderlaal's Alex Rushmer. It has a courgette and creme fraiche base, mozzarella pearls, grilled and ribbed courgettes, and it's finished with rocket, basil, pesto, and lemon.
Well, it sounds very tasty.
Mm.
Now, while I was in Mill Road, I popped into Harvest, which has so many interesting foods, and I asked them as well, what's good for the summer?
Yes, we have watermelon, cherries, nectarine peaches, fresh olives. We started with Moroccan watermelons. Now we've got the Greek watermelons. We will have it from Turkey soon as well.
What's the difference between Moroccan, Greek and Turkish?
Well, the Moroccan starts seasons earlier than the other ones, so because they're the hot country, Morocco is always hot, and we get it from Morocco first, and then eventually from Greece, like to the end of July, and then we start getting from Turkey. So it depends on the harvest they do and the weather. So it's, Morocco is the first always.
Do you do anything in particular with the watermelons as well?
We also slice them in quarters and halves because they're quite big sometimes, and we do smaller sizes.
Yeah, of course. Anything drinks wise?
Well, we got smoothies that we prepare ourselves, which is really popular now, and especially this hot weather times. We've got four different smoothies, and very healthy smoothies, and it's all produced in the shop by our own fruit and veg.
So four different types of smoothies.
Yes,
as well.
I can quickly go through them as well.
Yeah.
So we have a lemon blueberry smoothie, which has berries and banana and chia seeds. We got a tropical fruit smoothie, which has pineapple, banana and mangoes, which is ideal for hot weather as well. And we also got green machine, which has kale, avocado, cucumber, and dates, fresh dates in there, which is very lovely as well, very healthy. And the last one is Zenergy, which is spinach, beetroot, and ginger and banana, which is very healthy smoothie too.
Spinach, beetroot, ginger, banana.
Yes.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
And you can find Harvest at 180 to 182 Mill Road. That's over the bridge on the Romsey side. And whilst I was in Harvest, I ran into Cyrus Nadiri from My Persian Kitchen, and he talked to me about his jams.
So we do... We've got four choices. We have our sour cherry jam. We have the well-known rose jam, which is very, very popular in the Middle East, especially Iran. We have our quince jam with a hint of cardamom and rose water. And the new one, which we've got on the market now, is our carrot jam, which we actually harvest ourselves. Carrot jam, yes. These jams are very popular in Iran, and these are jams which I grew up with as a young man, growing up in a Iranian-Persian household. With the quince jam, we've put a little bit of my Persian kitchen touch, where we've added the cardamom and the rose water, but normally it just comes as a basic quince jam. So you can go onto our website, which is mypersiankitchen.co.uk, and you can order online, or you can order from Cafe Blue Sage.
And that's on Mill Road?
On Mill Road, yes.
And that music sends us hurtling into the news from social media.
Yeah, Amelie has opened up a very nice space at Ben's Yard near Ely, where there's an Amelie Cafe and restaurant. Great Britannia is 5 years old now.
Wow.
Did you realise that?
Excellent.
That's amazing, isn't it? And they're giving away to celebrate five bottles of English Fizz. Go into their shop today, that's the 29th, or tomorrow the 30th. Sign up to their newsletter and that will put you into their draw for a bottle of English Fizz. Heath Fruit Farm, cherries are back, English cherries ripened. There's a new drink at Pages in Trumpington Street Road. Street of that, okay.
Yeah.
The Cafe Bonbon, which has layers of espresso with layers of condensed milk, and it just looks fantastic. And on the subject of coffee, the Yard in Ely has a coffee festival on the 7th of September, and bookings are being taken now. And back to alcoholic drinks now, and a trip to Cambridge's Windmill, which is at the end of French's Road off Victoria Road. And in the cellar of the Windmill is Chris Wilson's Gutter and Stars Winery. It's been quite a while since we've been there, so a good time for a catch-up.
Chris, you've been open as a winery for how long now? 4 years, is it?
Yeah, well, I started making wine here in Cheston Mill 4 years ago, but I only actually started selling the first wines in sort of this time, 2021. So 3 years, really, as a way of selling wine to the public.
Right, and I would have thought quite a brave venture, really. How did you get known? How did people know you existed? Was that a challenge, getting your name out there?
It was relatively straightforward for the locally, because I think we've got a really good network here in Cambridge of this, in terms of social media and channels where people really are involved in what's going on. So I made sure I had a presence there and got to know some local chefs and wine merchants and restaurateurs. And, you know, sort of word gets about. And for me, that's the best kind of marketing is word of mouth, especially in a city like this that's relatively small. And people like to experience new and different things.
Yeah, absolutely. You've just done an evening with Finboys, for example, haven't you?
Exactly, yeah. That's the second wine dinner I've done with Finboys. I did one last year. This was to show the new wines that I've recently released, and also the chefs there had some dishes they wanted to match with the wines. I've worked with them pretty much from the beginning in terms of having listings at the restaurant, so it's nice to have an evening where it's all about the Gutter and Stars wines.
Yeah, and a great thing to pair food, match food and wine together, because both are improved massively through it, I think, or your pleasure of them.
Absolutely, and particularly seafood and shellfish go well with my wines, because I'm making still wines in England, predominantly white wines. So some of them are quite light, some of them are richer, but they work really well with that style of food.
Yeah, and you've also had some approval from big names in the wine world, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's another key part of getting the word out there, especially wider than the local market, is to put wines in front of journalists, in front of broadcasters, in front of wine trade people. And, you know, I stand by the quality of the wines, but obviously it's great when someone like Fiona Beckett at The Guardian, or Tamlyn Curran writing for JancisRobinson.com, or Henry Jeffries, who wrote a book about English wine, when they taste the wines and then they write a glowing report as well. That obviously validates what I'm doing, but it puts the name out there much wider as well.
Yeah, so you're getting pretty well known then.
Absolutely, yeah. I've got to the point where if I release a new wine, very quickly, a lot of it is sold to regular customers because they trust that the next wine will be good. But also, particularly with Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, the wider market in the UK is really strong for those styles of wine, so they do well.
Yeah, I bought three bottles, I think, of your Pinot Noir and enjoyed it. I can't remember what I drank it with, what food I drank it with, but it just went really well with that food. It was, you know,
excellent.
It was a good choice.
Very kind of you, thank you.
Right. But you've got some new wines, Chris. Do you want to tell us what you've got?
This spring I've released, well, since January I've released five wines, and I've got a sixth one coming soon. So I've released a Chardonnay and a Pinot Noir, both from the 2022 vintage. Both from Crouch Valley, Essex Fruit. So this is, for me, the best place in the UK to grow still Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. Those wines have both had sort of 15 months in oak before release, old barrels. So they're quite developed and textured. And then more recently, so in May, I released a Bacchus, an Ortega, and a white blend. So Bacchus and Ortega are both sort of fresh style white wines. Bacchus in particular, really fresh and aromatic, really lovely on a day like today. It's probably 23 degrees outside. That's the kind of wine you want to be opening up this evening for the football or in the garden or whatever. It's really refreshing. The Ortega's a little bit more complex.
Ortega's not a grape I've heard of.
It's not that common, for one, and for two, it's not widely known. It's I kind of put it in the same bracket as Bacchus. They're both German grapes that have been planted pretty widely in England, but whereas Bacchus has taken off as a variety on its own, a single variety bottling. Ortega's generally been used in a blend, so white blends, quite often in sparkling as well. But there are a few growers who grow it to such good quality that it really stands out as a single variety bottling. And I've always been a fan of the grape, so I started working with that grape in my second vintage, so 2021, and have worked with it ever since. It's a much richer style tobacco, much more food friendly, I think, in terms of, works really well with things like hard cheese, charcuterie. It's a bit more perfumed, a little bit more sort of waxy and weighted in the mouth. It's a lovely grape to work with. I've got another wine from the 2023 vintage, which will be released in August, a Pinot Blanc. It's kind of high acid, but lovely fruit. Sort of this is kind of pear fruit in there, and some citrus fruit as well. So that's just been bottled last week.
Okay, and you have tastings as well. You have regular tastings here, don't you?
Every other Thursday evening here in the cellar, in the basement of Chesterton Mill. I host up to 12 people. People come here and we'll taste five different wines, current releases, sometimes an older wine that I've pulled out of the library for a tasting, sometimes wines that are still in barrel that we'll just taste to see how they're developing and to give customers an idea of the way that wine changes over time. Mm. And that's sort of an hour or so in here on a Thursday evening, and then people can and quite often do stick around afterwards for a glass or two.
Well, it's a long time since I've had a glass of wine at 11:30 in the morning, but it was beautifully refreshing. So I recommend it. Guthrum Stars wines can be bought online and from Great Britannia in Chesterton Road, and well worth it too. And Sue, you've been on television recently. We couldn't ask you last time because you weren't here. But
no, I wasn't here. But
you're on Channel 5?
Yes, Channel 5, definitely. And it was called Sell-By Dates, The Surprising Truth. But in fact, sell-by dates are something that supermarkets use more as a stock-checking thing. So that's really old hat. And the most important thing is the best before or use-by dates. So, and it was trying to get over the message. The important thing is that a use-by date is absolutely essential for things like creams, milk, eggs, meat, all the sort of things that can go off. And that's important. Whereas the other one, which is the best before, you can be a little bit more, let's say, lax with, in the sense of things like herbs, spices and so on. But no, it was great fun doing the recording. So,
yes, I bet it was. So I'd be interested to know how long you spoke for and how much they used, what the ratio is.
This is always the interesting thing. So I was interviewed for about an hour.
Oh, right.
Yeah, golly. And so there was two or three other people who were being interviewed separately, and then they were edited in to the into the programme as well. And then so you end up, a lot of it ends up on the cutting room floor, sadly. So 10 minutes of that, probably more like five.
Right.
So they edit accordingly and they choose what they want.
Right, so they can tell the story as they want it.
Indeed. But no, it was fun. It was great fun.
Nice to be asked.
Oh, indeed.
And there's Green Onion signalling the start of our jobs section. And if you're interested in any of the jobs, you could just simply pop into the company concerned at a quiet time to get more information.
A senior sous chef is needed at the Gog Farm Shop. It's a permanent job and you'll need to be available at weekends.
Senior sous chef is also needed at Pint Shop.
Chef de partie are needed at the Quay Mill Hotel and Parker's Tavern.
Sous chefs are needed at St John's College, the Carpenter's Arms in Great Wilbraham, and a junior sous chef is needed at the Three Tons in Fendrayton.
There are vacancies for chefs at the Lord Byron, Cafe Foy, Jamaica Blue, and at the Cambridge Tap, where live-in is available if needed.
And Aromi is looking for a senior pasta chef, Quay Mill Hotel is looking for a pastry chef, and Prana is looking for a head chef.
And finally, King's College want a commis chef.
And that takes us to the end of our programme for today. Don't forget, we are here on alternate Saturdays at 12 noon, repeated on Mondays at 6 p.m. and Thursdays at 2 p.m. We're also available as a podcast from all the usual places. Coming up next on Cambridge 105 Radio this evening is Strummers and Dreamers, followed by Rock of Ages with Paul Cristoforo at 9 p.m.
But that's all from us today. We'll be back on the 13th of July with lots more food and drink, news, jobs and features. So until then, goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
And let's see if there's any ice cream left.
Oh, yes, 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 please. Thank you.
Right. Okay.